It is time for TMZ.
Hey, it's time.
It's time.
It's time for TMG.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to TMG. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. I enjoy discovering and sharing real-life moments of inspiration from everyday people. And this show is about finding moments of inspiration for our everyday lives. And look, and if you're going to tell me something, then tell me something good. Hi, everybody! Welcome to an all-new episode of TMG. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. Hey, guys, real quick, do me a favor. Don't forget to visit, subscribe, share, and like our YouTube page. That's Tell Me Something Good with a capital T. And as always, I want to give a huge shout-out to my biggest supporter, my biggest fan, my lovely wife, Nicole. Hey, girl, how you doing? I know you're watching. I know you're listening. Man, I could not wait for Thursday to get here. I could not wait for this day right here to arrive. I'm glad that each and every one of you are right here with me. And whether you are watching in the UK or in Canada or in Portugal or South Africa, or maybe you happen to be watching in Japan or China or Mexico, or maybe you're in Trinidad and Tobago, wherever you are around the world, let me take this time to tell you thank you. I'm so glad that each and every one of you are joining me today. And maybe this is your first time tuning in, your very first time hearing my voice. Do me a favor. If this is your first time tuning into the show, first time watching it, maybe you listen to it right now on Spotify, but wherever you are listening, or Pandora Music, wherever you are, if this is your first time tuning into the show, your first time listening or watching, type in the chat the word new, N-E-W. That's right. Go ahead and type in the word new. That's right. I'll catch it in the airways. And if you're not watching this and you aren't able to type it, go ahead and just say it out loud. I'm new. There you go. I can hear it coming in. There you go. I'm new. I got you. Thank you to all of our new listeners, new followers, everybody that's joining the show. And you said, but Travis, man, listen, I'm not new. I've been watching and streaming your show ever since you've been streaming, man. Listen, for all those who have been watching and streaming the show since day one, I want to tell you something. Thank you very much. Each and every one of you individuals that's tuned in each week, you are some amazing, incredible people. Thank you so much for lending me your time. I'm so glad that you're here. Guys, tonight's episode is going to be one of those that you're going to be so glad you tuned in to hear. I'm glad that each and every one of you are here today. I certainly am. And guys, listen, you know how we like to do this. Everybody knows that if you've been listening, everybody knows that this show is all about finding moments of inspiration in our everyday lives. So if you have an inspiring story that you'd like to tell and maybe come on a show, drop me an email at tellmesomething21@gmail.com. That's tellmesomething21@gmail.com. And he said, but Travis, listen, man, I don't want to come on a show, but I know someone that has a wonderful story that I know your audience would love to listen to, and they want to come on a show. Send me their information at tellmesomething21@gmail.com. And here is another way. Here is a great way for everyone to get involved. Here's how you can do it. You can, if you have something exciting that has happened in your life, whether it was a promotion, maybe you met a goal, a personal goal, or maybe it was something you were trying to achieve, and you wanted to share that good news with everyone, Or maybe, just maybe, you couldn't find anyone to be as excited about your good news. Well, guess what? I want to share your good news, your tell me something good moment with the entire world. That's right. All you have to do is email me your tell me something good moment, whether it's a promotion you got, maybe it was something new that you're trying to do, maybe it was a habit you were trying to break, whatever it is, email me your tell me something good moment. And then what I will do in the next week's show, I will announce your tell me something good moment and your name and share it with the entire world so that everyone in the world will share in your good news with you. Send it in to TELLMeSomething21@gmail.com. Guys, listen, I know you're waiting for this show to get started. I'm excited also. I want to go ahead and play our sponsorship information by our affiliate sponsors. Now, listen, our affiliate sponsorship information, you will see that right there below in the chat, in the links. Now, guys, listen, visit our sponsors. Get some great deals. Support your show. Now, if you're not watching this and you don't see the chat, listen up, guys. It'll come and it'll play through. But, guys, we'll be back. I'm not going nowhere. I'm just getting started.
Walmart is a proud associate sponsor of TMG Tell Me Something Good podcast. Please use the special link, bit.ly/tellmesomethinggood, and visit our sponsor. Remember, I may earn a commission when you buy through this link. Fanatics is the place to go for all of your officially licensed sports gear from your favorite sports and sports teams. Use the special link, bit.ly/tellmesomething21, and pay a visit to our sponsor today. Remember, I may earn a commission when you buy through this link.
Breaking your phone sucks. Breaking your phone, then trying to sell it online sucks. Breaking your phone, selling it online, only to find out that the money you'll only get for it sucks. Breaking your phone, selling it online for peanuts, shipping it, and finding out that you got scammed sucks. Gizmogo makes selling your phone fast, safe, and simple by paying you the highest price for your device. And with Gizmogo's free unlimited shipping and price guarantee, millions of people are starting to sell on Gizmogo. Fast, safe, simple. Gizmogo, the best way to sell tech.
There it is right there, guys. Please visit one of our affiliate sponsors. Remember, guys, the information is right there. Look below. It's right there in the chat. I have to scroll up. Scroll up! There it is. It's right there in the chat, guys. Listen, I'm so glad that you're here. And I know you've been waiting on pins and needles as to what we're going to talk about on the show today. So I don't want to keep you waiting any longer. If you did not get a chance to catch what today's episode is all about, what the title of today's episode is The Weight of It All. The Weight, W-E-I-G-H-T, The Weight of It All. And I know you're wondering, where in the world is Travis going to go with that, The Weight? Can you imagine? I want you to think about people in a gym. Have you ever seen people working out? You know what I'm talking about. They're in a gym or they're at home and they're lifting weights. And one of the best ways to gain strength is to lift something heavier than you. Oh, I'm going somewhere with that. Hold on to that. Don't let that go. One of the best ways to become stronger is to lift something that is heavier than you are. The weight of it all. But today, guys, I was thinking this week when I was talking with our guest, I was thinking when I talk about the title, The Weight, W-E-I-G-H-T, The Weight of It All, made me think about parenting, but it also really made me think about single parenting, single parents, and whether you are a single mom, single dad, single parents lift a lot of weight. They carry a lot of weight. And I'm going to put up a video, guys, so you kind of get an image of what I'm talking about single parents. Parents, guys, parents come in all shapes, sizes, and varieties. Sometimes they come in pairs, and sometimes they come in singles. People see the weight, and they will assume that it breaks you. But what they don't see is how the weight really builds you. Single parents don't just carry responsibility. They carry love. They carry hope. They carry the future. When people hear the term single parent, and understand this, when we have these preconceived ideas when we hear certain words and certain terms. So we hear the word single parent and certain aspects begin to come up. We begin to judge that person wrongly. Don't even know them. Know nothing about them. But begin to say single parent, oh, they must be like this. Single parent, oh, they must be that way. Single parent, oh, they got to have this going on. Single parent, oh, they must be desperate. Single parent, oh, they must be this way. Single parent, when they hear the word single parent, we might think struggle. But today, we're changing the lens that we see single parents through. Yeah, we no longer want to see parents through that one lens. This isn't just about how heavy the weight is. It's about who future you have the responsibility to carry. Yeah, single parents carry a lot. But this is not a story about how heavy that weight is. It's about who was carrying our futures. Now, I know your mom may have been single, but she was carrying your future. Your dad may have done the best that he did, but he was carrying your future. Every time they told you to make sure you did your homework, they were carrying your future. We're joined today, guys, by a single parent of two who understand how heavy the steps can become as a single parent. Guys, do me a favor. I want to give you a huge TMG welcome to Annette Presley. Annette, what's up, girl? How you doing?
Hi there. Thank you so much for the opportunity to come on your show. I appreciate it.
Man, Annette, I'm happy to have you here. Guys, listen, I'm going to drop this to you behind the scenes. So Annette and I were talking before we got on camera, right before we start recording the show. And Annette said, Travis, I don't do video with nobody. Absolutely nobody. I shut it down. They say they want to do a video. I shut them down. She said, but for some reason, I'm going to do it just for you. So Annette, we're glad you're here. Do thumbs up, big smiles. We love it. The camera loves you, Annette. You should do it more often. We love it. See, thank I just you. Threw her out there like this. So now she has to start doing it because I talked to her about it. So. She no longer had the
no skills. Pressure, no pressure.
None whatsoever, none. But I am happy that you decided to do video with us. We're glad that you're here, Annette. And this is a topic, Annette, I know that is personal connection to you. And not just with you, but there are a lot of listeners, Annette, who can vibrate in that same space of having grown up in a single parent home and knows what it's like as single parents to have. You have to carry the weight of everything. And according to some data, Annette, according to some recent data that I was looking at, almost 50% 50% of Americans believe single motherhood or single motherhood is bad for society. Now, that's a high number to believe something like that. Almost 50% of Americans believe that single motherhood is bad for society. They believe things like, they proliferate stories like the feelings of shame and inadequacy, of things like they come, and all these things that come along with it that are already common to wearing as a single parent, all these painful things. But they also say that single parents add to the crime rate. They add to, I kid you not, they add to the literacy rate. They add to the struggles that society have. All these things. Now, single parents already carry all the things, the feelings of shame and inadequacy that are already common to the wearing and often painful experience of raising a child alone, because most single parents did not decide to be
right.
a single parent.
Exactly.
Were there ever moments that you had to carry the weight of this, like being made to feel like a shame? Did you ever had to feel like you were ashamed somehow, or did you somehow felt things were all your fault?
Yeah. When I got pregnant with my son, you know, I was really active in my church. I mean, I was doing a lot in my church, and I did, you know, I got pregnant and everything. And when my pastor found out, he says, you need to go in front of the church and apologize. Mm. I'm like, huh? Wait, you know, and I'm trying to process that. And I'm
right. young,
you know, I had my son when I was 22.
Right.
So I knew something wasn't quite right with that statement, because my kid's father, he's active in the church, not the church I attended.
Right.
But nobody was making him get up in front of the church and apologize. And he was very active in his church. And so double standards, right?
Right.
So I was like, I didn't feel comfortable with doing that. So unfortunately, I did leave that church because I just didn't think, why would I have to be subjected to apologizing to the congregation when sin is sin?
Right,
I'm not
right.
saying what I did was right, but sin is sin. So everybody needs to get up in front of the church.
Say, you got to get up. I'm going to need everybody from the pulpit to the parking lot.
Right.
Come on behind me. I'll go first, but y'all come next.
Okay.
I got no problem going first, but I need y'all to get right behind me.
Exactly. You spell sin the same way, S-I-N. It doesn't matter what type of sin it is. It's still sin. And so you can't put one above another and say, hey, just because you're pregnant, adultery is okay,
right?
Fornication is okay. All of these other things are okay.
But pregnant,
you,
single.
You got pregnant, so that's the highlight.
You come on up here. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Not to mention the deacon with the character flaws who's stealing money and hitting on everybody. No, don't worry about him. We need the person who's the single person who's faithful to the church. We need you to come up and apologize to everybody.
Right. And I was like, I'm not going to do it. And so I never looked back. But it was like, well, why do I have to do it? And, you know, why are you singling this out?
Singling.
And that's what society does, right? If you think about it, and it's only because they can see
pregnancy
versus everybody else's that are hiding theirs, but you can see ours. So therefore, we get the fingers pointed at us because of the fact that, okay, yeah, look at you. You're expecting, you're showing, and all
right,
of this.
Right.
And that's the part where, you know, as single moms and that depression and that what society depicts on us, that's where the weight comes from.
Wow.
That's where the weight comes from.
Oh,
as I'm talking,
man.
That's where it comes from.
Man, listen, I guys. So you was 22 when you were pregnant with your son, right?
Mm-hmm.
And here it is. You're 22. Life has just started. Yeah. I want everybody that's listening, everybody that's wondering, that's watching, 22 years old. Life has just begun to for you. You graduated high school. Life is your whole life is ahead of you. Your whole life is in front of you. Your eyes are wide open. You're in church. You're doing positive things. And so life is still in front of you. All these emotions and feelings are on you. You're pregnant. And the one place you were supposed to feel safe, you no longer felt safe. The right. one place you're supposed to feel like, you know, hey, I could come be rescued. I wouldn't have to worry about anything else. That's the one place you didn't feel safe. And what I'm saying, guys, listen, before let me throw this disclaimer out there. I'm not bashing anybody's church. What I am saying is this. She was supposed to feel safe in one place. That right. is the same plight that most single parents deal with. They're supposed to feel safe in their homes, and their parents make them feel bad. They're supposed to feel safe among their so-called friends, and their friends make them feel bad. The problem we're talking about is not a church issue. We're talking about a society issue
right.
where when they say the word single parent, it's like right. you just committed a crime. It's right. like you just killed, you know, you just assassinated somebody. You exactly. know, and people have been having babies before there ever was a church.
Right.
Let me just say that right. real quick. But it's not about church. It's not about your friends. But it is the way that society has brought a stigma onto single parents.
That's
and
it.
Single parents have to fight through the yes. stigma that society yes. has put on them. They didn't ask yes. for that. They didn't yes. they didn't ask. No parent says, you know what? I'm going to raise my hand. I'm going to be a single parent. That's what I want in my life. And society has placed a stigma on single parenting, and people who are single parents have to live through that stigma. Mm-hmm. Not to mention the already personal shame you might have because maybe the relationship didn't go the way it's supposed to after the pregnancy. Maybe things didn't work out the way they should have during the pregnancy. So now that parent is there all by themselves, dealing with their emotions all by themselves, and the people they were supposed to depend on, the people right. they were supposed to talk right. to, turn their back on them, and now that weight, trying to lift it off me, I can't. It's
right.
And at right. 3 o'clock in the morning, Annette, you're laying in the bed, you're trying to wrap your head around it, and it's the weight. It's not the 9-month baby that's growing inside of you. It's not the life that you're carrying. It's the weight of, I gotta, right. they said I couldn't do it. They said I wouldn't make it. They said I'd never be nobody. I'm just a single parent. That's I knew it. You wouldn't gonna be nothing. I that's knew you gonna it. Be just like them. I
that's
you
it. Know.
And you're trying to lift all of this weight off of you. I can't even begin to imagine what that was like for you, Annette, trying to process this in your mind and what you were feeling. What did you do to navigate these feelings and these thoughts?
Well, you know, I have to go back to my mom, and I'm so thankful for her, because, you know, while I was physically capable of conceiving a child, mentally, I just wasn't ready. And because she was a year out of retiring after I had my son. So having her in my life and that support, it meant everything, because just her teaching me different things about parenting and stepping in and being a parent again, right? You know, she's raised all of us, and it's six of us, and I'm the youngest of six, and she stepped in and took ownership of, you know, helping raise my kids, you know, my son especially, because I didn't know any better. You know, as a first-time mom, you know, and having the prep bottles and getting up in the middle of the night and all of that fun stuff and changing Pampers. What is that? Right. I was used to doing the babysitting, but this is something different now that I'm experiencing. And that is, you know, you have a child of your own. And guess what? There's no looking back. You know, you can't return this child. This is lifelong. And so having to understand what it means to be a parent was really the piece that I struggled with and how to conform to that, you know, because it's no longer me.
Right, right.
Me. And so I have to take into consideration, I have a child now, so yep. I have to behave differently. And one of the things my mom told me, and she said, listen, I will watch your child or the kids while I work, but that's it. And she laid the law down. And I appreciate that. And as I was sharing with my own daughter, you know, that was code for you got to grow up.
Yep.
You got to grow up. This is your responsibility.
Not mine.
And I appreciate that. I appreciate that now. Because had I continued to rely on her, I would have never become mature enough to be a good mom.
That's good. That's good. And you know, and that's you had a support system that did not. And here's what I like. Here's the difference between a support system and then someone who is an enabler. Your mom did not become an enabler.
Right.
And say, oh, poor baby, my baby, blah, 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 and just let you do what you let you continue. She said, I love you, Annette. I love you.
Yep.
I'm going to watch this baby while you working.
Right.
But whatever time you get off, if you get off at 8 o'clock.
That's it.
8:05, you better be at this door.
That's it.
Picking up your baby.
She didn't play. She did not play.
And if you late, you better. What, it's 8:06. Why are you late? I need to know. Oh, the traffic light held long. You better tell me something.
Yeah.
You better tell me something.
Yeah.
And but we need support systems. So.
True.
We need a support system that's going to hold us accountable. We need a support system that's going to help us, but not a support system that's going to keep allow us to continue to make poor choices. But and see, this is the truth where when you know where someone is not something somebody just wants to do. Annette said, I had to do what my mom's saying because it was a bell that it was time for me to grow up. I had to grow up. She said, I was physically able to make a baby, but mentally, I was not ready for a child. And what don't understand, Annette, raising a child, having a child is mental. It's 1% physical. Everything else is mental.
That's
you hear
right.
me? My wife and I have kids and we have one grandkid. He's 4 years old. Love Amir. Love him. It's mental. It's all mental because you got to remember when you were a child, you got to say, I can't get that angry at 4 years old, at 3 years old. You had to pull things back. I can't say it to him. I can't say it to him like I really want to say it to him because it's all mental. Am I mentally prepared to be or to make this decision? And what I like, Annette, is that you were honest. You said, man, I wasn't mentally prepared to make that decision. I was not. And what happens is a lot of times, Annette, we as parents, we are physically able to make children, but we're not mentally able to make these decisions for children.
That's right.
And when we do that, Annette, then we blame the child.
Right.
Oh, it's your fault. You're just like your mom. You're just like your daddy.
Yep.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
Right.
I don't recall them asking to be born.
Exactly.
And that's what your mom did. Your mom said, hey, whoa, I love you. But the child didn't ask to be born. And you said that you owned up to it and it helped you to grow up. And we're talking about the weight of it all. And Annette, I would not expect my 4-year-old grandson to pick up 100 pounds. Because he hasn't grown up enough.
Right.
But a full adult, I expect you to be able to carry the weight of an adult. Oh, come on now. Exactly. I expect you to be able to carry the responsibilities of an adult. I expect you to be able to carry the, all the things that go with as being an adult. You don't get to choose when you want to be an adult. That's exactly what your mom was saying. Mom's, you know, no, baby, you don't get to choose when you mom. No, not like that. So you said you rely heavily on your support system, your mom, because your mom was there and she empowered you, she strengthened you. So carrying this weight, Annette, part of it is we got to develop a strong support system.
Yes, which kind of goes back to my podcast of Mom to Mentor, right? Because we're more than nurturers. We are examples for our children.
I like
and
that.
Much of what I learned along life's journey and with my mom is not because of the conversations I had with her, it's because of what I saw. I seen her do, how I seen her manage our family, right? With my dad and total of eight, and how she facilitated paying the bills, making sure we ate. We had beans almost every day, right? But we ate. We never were hungry.
You weren't hungry.
We weren't hungry. So when I look at my mom and what she, the example that she displayed as my mentor, you know, I'm just trying to pay it forward to others.
Absolutely.
Because again, we are, while we hear things verbally, but we're visual.
Correct.
By what we see. And that's how we move forward, at least for me and what I saw her do. And so again, I give 200% kudos to her. And the reason why I started my podcast or renamed my podcast as Mom to Mentor, because we are more than just nurturers. Mm. We are mentors. We are examples, and we have to do better. I even say a good mom teaches, a better mom learns to teach.
And as
a single mom myself, I didn't do a lot of teaching, unfortunately. I was doing a lot of correcting versus directing, right? If I was educating my kids more, then I would minimize the amount of correcting I needed to do, because now I'm setting the expectation of what we want you to be or how we want you to to be successful in life. And that's what I'm doing with my podcast. I'm giving examples of what we should be teaching, because once we start that teaching, it's going to make a difference.
A huge difference.
And so it is important that moms, you know, again, you're like me, 22, didn't know any better. And you may not have a support system. I was lucky that I did.
Right.
There are other, not just my podcast, but other podcasts absolutely out there that can help you be successful in raising your children. So please don't let society define who you are.
That part.
Okay, so what? You got pregnant. Okay, it happened. It's over. Let's move forward.
That's right.
Your knowledge. Learn exactly. Take your gifts and build on that. You know, I have several episodes out there that talk about that. First of all, you got to understand, are you an introvert or an extrovert? Why is that important? Because that's going to help determine your success. And then once you understand your personality type, then you're going to understand how to better raise your children, right? Because they're going to either be an introvert or an extrovert. And now you can identify, for example, my son, he's an extrovert. He has to be around people. He has to be engaged. He has to do that. I'm an introvert. So I told you, I don't like to be on the camera.
Nope. You said right? No.
I'm a back office type of person, but behind the scenes. And so now that I know my son is an extrovert,
right,
I know how to deal with that, right? Versus, oh my gosh, he has to go here. He got to do this. He has to, and it was like that growing up.
I bet that was. He was being the stark opposite personality of you. I can imagine him wanting to have friends over and more friends. And you're like, oh my
God,
you got way too many friends over here. So you got one too many friends. And if this one friend keep coming over.
Yes. And it was like that. And so, again, we have to understand that's part of raising our children. We have
to understand
because and part of the correcting that I did with my son is because he was an extrovert. He had all this energy and all of this stuff. And I didn't understand it. So I felt the need to correct him in certain areas.
And I heard you say correct instead of direct, and parents getting the an opportunity to learn to teach. And you know, in my life, same thing in parenting. I didn't do a lot of teaching until later on in my parent life. I did a lot of correcting because I thought that's what you do. Parents were just supposed to correct. Correct.
Exactly.
All you do is correct. Correct. And then later I learned, oh, let me do some teaching and directing, and I won't have to do as much correcting. And I didn't learn it till later in life, but most parents, and I know there are parents who are listening and who are watching, and you probably won't admit it, but it's okay. You have to admit it. We understand. Because most of the examples that were in front of us were corrective examples. Let me say it again. Most of the examples that we had in front of us were corrective examples. They were examples about correction. If I correct them enough, then they're gonna beat it into their head if I correct them enough. And it wasn't until I learned later on that we get an opportunity to teach our children.
Yes.
Yeah, let me say it again. We have an opportunity to teach our children. We are honored to teach our children. And the correction, of course, goes in there, but we are honored to teach our children. So you had this wonderful support system with your mom, who was a true support system, and she did not come and allow you to stay in that spot. And so that's how you dealt with those emotions, the shame we talked about from the church, the shame. And I don't want people to start thinking about church. Get that out your head. It's not church. It's just the way society thinks about single parents.
Exactly.
Her shame happened to come from that certain area of society. Right. It could be your best friend. It could be your homeboy. It could be your family. It could be you getting pregnant at age 16 and your parents screaming and yelling at you. It could be you getting pregnant at age 17 or 18 or 19 and your parents throwing you out the house. It doesn't matter where the shame comes from. It has to do with the whole societal thinking about single parents. Back in the day, I remember when young ladies would get pregnant, they would hide the girl for 9 months and say she's on a vacation somewhere with her auntie, or she's somewhere, and you see her 9 months later, and the baby would be given away in an adoption somewhere, and it'd be a double standard. They want you to come before the church, but not the man come before the church.
Right, hold on, baby.
She didn't make this baby by herself. It wasn't the Holy Spirit that came on her.
Right, come my on. Name ain't Mary.
Come on, quit playing. Her name is Annette, not Mary. Come on here.
Right.
What are we doing up in here? But it's not church, so let me get that out y'all head. It can come from any place. It doesn't even have to come from an outside source. It can come from your own thoughts about your own self. And let me help people out. Our biggest fight, your first fight is not with your neighbor down the street. Your first fight is not in the third grade. Your first fight is in your own head. Your first fight will always come between your two ears. It will come between the thoughts that's in your mind. Your biggest battle will be the battle that you think about yourself. Your biggest fight will be the fight that you tell yourself, because it doesn't matter what they say about you. It matters most what you say about you. And what you keep telling yourself is what matters the most. That's going to be your biggest fight. What's one moment, Annette, What's one moment in your life or in your journey as a single parent where the weight just kind of felt impossible? I've seen people in there. I'm not kidding. I used to watching weightlifting competitions. Not that I ever could do it. Annette, I'm 172 pounds. I've never been interested in trying to get big, but I've always been fascinated at how people could lift these huge amounts of weight. And it seemed like, man, how in the world are they doing that? And they be struggling and they finally get it. Or sometimes they couldn't, they drop it because it was too much for them. I've seen people pass out from the weight.
Right.
I mean, because the weight was so heavy. I've seen them pass out from the weight. And I know there might be some people, you're dealing with some stuff right now. You might be feeling like you might have to pass out because of the weight. What's one moment in your life's journey as a single parent, Annette, where you felt the weight was almost impossible? You felt like those weightlifters who were trying to lift the weights, and you was doing your best. You was doing your best, and you felt like just dropping it, giving up on it, saying, "I can't do this. I got a great support system, but I can't do this when that child come home with me. I know y'all love, but I can't do this." Were there ever moments in your life where you felt like that weight was kind of just impossible, but you surprised yourself and found your strength to keep going?
Yeah, Travis, I'm going to tell you, my biggest struggle was finances and managing finances. And with children, there's always going to be that impromptu finance that comes
in. Oh, man, what you say?
They need this for school. They need this. And so I have my kids both very active. In sports and school activities, and also church.
Okay.
And so at church, if they were singing or ushering, and oh, this is the colors they're going to wear. And then I had to go out and figure out, oh, you don't have that color, right? Or, you know, or it would just be something at school, lunch money,
right?
All of that. And then
field trips, pictures.
Yeah, all of that. And if you're not planning for that, then some things got to go off to the wayside, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
My biggest weight with raising my children was just managing my finances. There are things I know now that I wish I knew back then. You know, when I had my kids, I was living in my mom's basement, in the back room with my two kids in one room. And I was like, I got to get out of here. Okay. Well, in that meantime, I should have been saving some of those funds in preparation for me to move, right? I should have had a wants account and a needs account, which I know now, but I didn't know back then. So it was always a struggle. And so while some folks do public assistance, that's fine. I wasn't getting child support, but that's another story for another time. But I went into the office to apply for public assistance. I walked in, Travis, and I turned around and walked out. And I walked out because I seen my mom. Again, you're going to hear me refer to her a lot. But I seen how she raised us. And I felt that it would do dishonor to her to go on public assistance. Now, if that's what other folks want to do, that's fine. But I saw my mom do it with us without public assistance. Yes, my father was in the picture, but as he rounded out life, he was sickly. And so he wasn't working. So I saw her do things that I don't think anyone else could have done as it relates to managing a household. And so and plus she didn't drive. So she would always have to walk to meet her ride to go to work. And I'm thinking, how can I take money from someone, you know? And she was able to do it. And there were more of us. So long story short is, ladies, if you got to go on public assistance, I get it, but it should be short term to help you get to where you need to be so that you can better manage your finances. And I might have even rethought about it had I looked at it that way. But again, I'm all about making sure I support my kids. It's my responsibility. I'm owning this. And in order to be owning it and being responsible for that, then and growing up,
right, then, hey, right,
I gotta go in and say, listen, how am I gonna get this done? And so as a result of that, I started at my job over 30 years ago.
Wow.
And I started doing data entry. And since that time, I've been able to acquire 2 degrees. I've traveled across this country. I've traveled across this world.
Wow. Wow.
Free. And the reason I did that is because I stayed with this company being consistent, right? Wow. Because just because you go to another job, you're still going to have people. You still have processes and things you're not going to like. So, and I have my kid's picture right there on my desk every day. I'm doing this for you. So if somebody got on my nerves, I didn't let it get to me because I'm doing it for
them. Look at that picture. It's not about this person. It's not about what's going on at work. It's about this right here as my motivation. People, Annette, we all, so that tells me this is the second point about the weight of it all. So the first thing we talked about was having a strong support system. It's a strong, reliable support system that's not going to be dysfunctional. That's not going to sit there and let you, but strong support system. And now you said you had to have some type of inner motivation. You said, I looked at my kids. I went into the office to apply. And you said, I turned around because I looked at what my mom did. Now, and I love the way you said, no offense to anyone who has to be on public assistance right now. We're not saying don't. We're not saying get off. We're not saying, oh, you're terrible. None of that stuff. She's saying, hey, look, have some motivation and some extra motivation that when you look at your kids, you say, you know what? This is the year I'm coming off public assistance.
Yeah.
This is the year I'm coming off public assistance.
That's it.
I thank God. I'm on it right now. Thank God. But this is the year I'm coming off. You may have to borrow $20 for gas this month, but next month I won't have to borrow it next month.
There you go.
I may have to borrow $10 for lunch. I won't have to borrow. I won't have to borrow it again. Last 2 months, I asked you for $25, but this is the last time I ask you for $25, because I'm going to do something different. And that's what it's about. So, and what I did, and I was talking about people lifting weightlifters. Mm-hmm. And what I learned, Annette, I watched them lift weights. I watched them, Annette, and I watched them struggle to lift heavy weight. But what I really looked at, Annette, I looked at the way they were standing. Mm-hmm. I looked at their feet.
Position.
They didn't have them close together. They had their feet wide apart for a wider base so they could carry and lift the heavier weight. And I looked at their hands and how they gripped the bar. And I said, why are they taking so much time to figure out how to just put your hands on it and grip it? And the announcer said that you have to grip the bar with a sure grip. Mm-hmm. You have to make sure you handle it. So even though you're able to pick it up the way that it doesn't slip and crush you. And right now, you might be feeling that it's crushing you. You might be feeling you are about to be crushed. But you know what I saw, Annette? I saw the weightlifter. He shifted his weight to his other foot. And when he did that, he was able to lift the weight over his head. Some of you right now, you don't need a sugar daddy. Baby, you just need to shift your weight. I know it feels like you cannot make it. It feels like you will always be this way. But baby, all you need to do is shift
your weight.
I know they thought you that you were always going to be like this.
That's right.
I know somewhere in your mind you said, I'm going to be just like my mama. I'm going to be just like them. All you need to do is shift your weight in your mind.
That's
whatever you've been thinking about yourself, shift your weight and lift what you have to lift. Lift that child. Lift
that's right.
That future. Lift. I know it hurts, but lift.
That's shift right.
That's your right. Weight. I'm sorry. I just knew somebody had to hear that. And the man, Annette, all he did was shift his weight. He didn't ask them to take weights off. He didn't say, somebody come help me. He shifted his weight. And somebody who's listening right now, you are about to shift your weight and keep lifting. Shift your weight and keep lifting. I know the other person promised you they will always be there, and they're not. They walked away from you. They said they is not their child. They said they didn't even want to own it. They didn't want to call you, talk to you, text you, help you. Baby, shift your weight and keep lifting.
That's right. That's
People only often see the struggle. People only see the struggle, Annette. What is one joy? Tell me one moment of happiness and joy. And I know there's a lot that was kind of unexpected. So what was kind of an unexpected joy or gift that came out of carrying this weight? What did you learn about yourself from carrying this weight?
That I could do it.
Oh, come on now.
You know, just what you said. And it really is a mental thing, Travis.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because when I started out, I did. I felt less than,
uh-huh.
You know, that, oh, wow, you're a single parent. People make me feel bad.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But, you know, eventually I said, you know what? I'm not going to own that.
Come
I'm not going to own that. I'm going to take it to another level. I'm going to start learning. You know, I'm going to get out there. And matter of fact, when I started at my job, I was doing data entry.
Uh-huh.
That's all I did. I was just keying every day. But what I did, Travis, is I started learning the business.
Mm-hmm.
I started talking to people. I started understanding. So now I'm not just going in and keying every day. I'm learning. I'm extracting information so that I can go to another level. So as a result of that, I kept growing within the business.
Mm-hmm.
And every step, and then I learn one thing, then I take it to another. I learn one thing, I take it to another level. And that's all up here.
Yep.
Because we can't listen to society. If we do, I would still be king today.
That entry. You still be just that.
Right.
So instead of just saying,
you know what? I'm not gonna own this. I'm gonna take it and add. I'm gonna take it and add. I'm gonna take it and add. Now I can do Excel spreadsheets. I'm doing PowerPoint.
Wow.
I'm creating these workflows. I'm learning AI. I'm still learning today.
Wow.
So again, ladies, a good mom teaches. A better mom learns to teach. So I love sharing with my daughter because she's very technology focused. And
uh-huh.
We have these really robust conversations because she's in the technology. I'm learning things and I'll bounce someone. She said, no, mom, that's really what this is. And I was like, oh, well, I ought to. Always understood it to be this, or
right,
if I'm working
right.
on something and I'm struggling, and I'll ask her, and she'll be like, "Oh, you just need to do this." So she does in 2 minutes what I've been doing for an hour.
Wow.
Yeah, it really is all about the mindset and to see where my children are today, where society is saying,
correct,
you know, they both should have multiple kids. And one conversation I did have with them, do better than me.
Yeah.
And when I say that, don't bring a child into this world without the proper setup.
It's
two to make the child. So there should be two to raise the child.
The child.
And so do better than I did. And I can say today, Travis, I'm not a grandmother because they listen to me. They listen to me. And that's important because they know what it's like growing up in a single parent household. They know what it's like when they talk about bring your mother and your father
to parents. To PTAs. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And so that uncomfortable with like, well, my father, he's not going to be able to make it.
Right, right.
He wasn't very active. Well, he wasn't active in their lives. And so as a result of that, that put them in an uncomfortable position.
Awkward position, right.
Yes.
Right.
And so now you're going to school and you're hearing this and your parents, and it's like, well, I only have my mom, you know? And so how does that make them feel? And so to see where they are today, and to hear that they listen to me, you know, not to bring a child into this world until you are absolutely mentally ready. Because physically you are, but you got to be up mentally here. Ready. Yeah, you have
to. What I hear, Annette, is you shifted your weight. On your job, you shifted your weight. When it came to the children, you shifted your weight. And you're getting the results, good results out of that. Single parents, though, single parents carry a lot. I watched my mom. She was a single parent. It was eight of us in that. You said six, y'all. Wow. Baby, it was eight. Yeah, uh-huh. Oh, wow. It was eight of y'all. And then my grandmother, she had a lot. She had a lot. And then so my grandmother raised us, a lot of my mom's kids. So she, all I knew was single parents. All I knew, and then all I knew was single parents. That's all I knew. All my life was a single parent, a single mom. That's all I knew all my life. Single. So, but what I also know is that single parents, they carry more than just their children's future. They carry more than just their children's hardship. They carry their own struggles. Single parents carry a lot. They carry everything from the stigma society places on them to the weight of their own dreams and hopes being placed on hold or delayed. You want to go to school? I can't go to school right now because my child got to go. I got to, you know, some things you can't do as a parent. You want to do, you have to do it on hold. Some things you can do because now my daughter, she graduated college as a single mom. And I told her, I said, man, I don't know how you do that. You graduated college. That's a great job now. But she graduated college as a single mom. And I said, man, that's got to be tough for you to do that. But single parents, man, they carry a lot from the stigma that society places on them, to the weight of their own dreams and the hopes of having to be placed on hold or even delayed. What were some things you did that helped you to manage the weight of maybe seeing others, maybe your friends who you grew up with, you know, Facebook friends who you know, whoever friends you grew up with, see their life take off. And maybe while you were making different plans, while they were making boardroom meetings, you were trying to find out who's going to babysit, while they were planning on, you know, doing the Express CRC at that time, and you had to figure out, I got to go get this milk for this baby, and these diapers cost too much money. While you were trying to figure out and get pennies together for the diapers, they was getting gas money to go to a business meeting. What was it like for you to navigate through that?
Yeah, it was a struggle. It was hard. It was hard because there was a lot of times there were things I wanted to do. And things I wanted when I first moved out of my mom's home and got my first apartment, you know, I didn't have any money to buy furniture. Mm-hmm. People gave me stuff. I mean, my sister gave me stuff. And my mom had just gotten remarried. And so they were in the process of moving. So I got some of their furniture. So I got all these little bits and pieces to put together. But one thing I learned is to be grateful.
Right.
Because, I didn't get everything that I wanted. I also said there's no shame in shopping at thrift stores.
So no.
You know, so I would go and because for those unexpected events that would happen at school or at church, hey, I don't have the money, so I would have to figure out. So what happened is I had to learn to become really creative.
Yeah.
As I'm waiting, as other people are doing stuff, I need to, again, back up here, just being creative and developing how I'm going to get some things done. And again, if it took, and matter of fact, when my son, I put his room together, I bought a cardboard box. And I created a little dresser out of it.
Oh, now that's good.
That's good. When you don't have it, you have to become creative. So I didn't let it get me down. So you know how they say when you take lemons, you make lemonade.
Right.
That's what I did. You know, okay, I don't have this right now, but what can I do? Okay. You're creative. Go out here and fix stuff. Because even now, my daughter be like, well, Mom, you don't really need to do that or you shouldn't do that. I'm still in that creative mindset from where I was when I was raising my kids because I didn't have it. And so, again, I'm going to take it. I'm going to make it as best as possible for you because it is about you. And I want you to see that, right? That, again, these are things that are not being handed, but it's all about thinking through things and using your creative mindset. And guess what? It's going to take you a lot farther, right?
Correct.
Versus you sitting and waiting.
And for waiting someone on someone to do it for you.
Get out there and do it. It may not be what you want, right? When I first moved, I was scared to death because now I have rent. And I have a note, and I have two kids.
Now everything's on you. Everything is on you.
That weight. And so, and now, you know, and kids, and I no offense, guys, but boys can eat. Boys can eat.
Listen, you don't tell me anything about that. It seems like every other day at the grocery. Man.
I remember I used to go to work and I wasn't even at work good. And my son was on summer break. Mom, what's for dinner?
Son,
we're just starting the day.
They just getting started.
Right. Well, I'm not even thinking about dinner. I'm just getting to work. What are you talking about? But yeah, it's like always just something every time. But long story short, I know too late, but it's just really about just displaying that creativity when you do see people acquiring things, getting or going after their dreams. You know, you just have to learn. Have to be patient. And that is one of my weaknesses. But I learned to deal with it and learn to be creative as I'm watching others progress, you know, and it worked out.
Man, I can't. My son, one of my sons, he played football growing up, and he already was a heavy eater. Man, already a big eater. So playing football and sports only made it worse. He would be, man, hey, what's for dinner, dude? The day just got started. Can we get past lunch?
Right.
Okay, please.
Right.
You just ate breakfast.
That was
10 seconds ago. Can we not do this already? All right. So I know your kids are adults now. They're grown. Your kids are grown. They're adults. All right. But what's your children's name? What's your kids' name?
Danae and Dante.
I don't know if you're listening right now, Danae and Dante, or watching this or what, but we're going to make sure they watch this episode. Danae and Dante. All right, so let's say Danae and Dante, one's on your right hand, one on your left hand side right now. They're sitting right next to you right now. They're looking at you. Look at them. They're looking at you. They look eyeball. They're looking at you right now. Okay. they're both D&D are looking at you right now. If your children were sitting here right now next to you, Danae and Deontay, if they were sitting right next to you, how would you want them to describe what you carried for them?
I would say a lot of stress from, you know, the overall, their emotions and things that they experience of just having one parent, that lack of balance. that really is needed when raising mm-hmm. children, right? I think both of my kids, you know, they're very respectful now, and they've achieved a lot. And they've told me often they're thankful, they're Aww. Grateful. And that means a whole lot to me, you know. And now that they are older and we're able to have conversations about when they were growing up, you know, the issues that they encountered, you know, because I saw at one point somewhere where it says, was your household filled with love or were you in survival mode? And Ooh. I have to admit, I was in survival mode, mm-hmm. right? I was not teaching. I wasn't educating them like I should be, you know. On my podcast, on one of my episodes, I talked about, you know, we correct lying, but we don't teach honesty.
Oh, and hold it. Say that part again. Yeah, you're not going to just drop that nugget and run off. Say that part again. We correct lying.
We correct lying, but we don't teach honesty.
Man, y'all, I told y'all
so
this episode's going to be good.
Yeah, and when my kids come around and they have that discussion with me about how they were raised and mm-hmm. some of the things, how they felt growing up, you know, mm-hmm. because when we are in the spotlight of correcting, then guess what? They become fearful of us.
Oh, wow.
But when we get in the mindset of teaching, now they respect us because otherwise, where are we going? How do we want them to get or see a bright future? And they can't see that bright future if they're in fear of us. Right.
We're always correcting. It's always something they did wrong. Always something did wrong. Always.
Yeah, because didn't know any better. You know, I took my kids to Disney World twice. And I took them to Hawaii and me and my son went to Vegas for his birthday. Me and my daughter went to New York for a mother-daughter trip. And come to find out, Travis, I didn't need to do that.
Wow.
Why didn't I need to do that? They said, because Mom, we would have preferred you to just tell us you loved us.
Whoa. So right there, Annette, you tapped
Wow.
You went through all these extravagant gift-giving trips and things to show your kids you love them. And they said, we didn't need that. We needed you to acknowledge us.
Exactly.
All we needed was you to acknowledge us. Let me help you out with something. Every child is born with a voice. Mm-hmm. Every child is born with a voice, a certain sound. And that's how parents know, oh, no, that's my child crying. Oh, no. Right. It could be 20 kids crying, but right. the parents can hear. But every child is born with a certain sound. And let me help you out. That true sound only becomes activated when the parent acknowledges that child. And what we have, Annette, is a lot of people, we have children growing up and becoming adults in age, but still children mentally thinking like children. And they go out searching for validation, going out searching for people to acknowledge them. And I don't know why she's in that toxic relationship. I don't know why he with that girl. She don't care about him because they're looking for validation. They're looking for that acknowledgement. And so you saying that your children, you had a tough parent-child conversation where they said, Mom, we didn't need that. All I needed was you to acknowledge me. Had you acknowledged me, girl, I'd have chopped out a whole tree, a forest of trees. Had you acknowledged me, I'd have dug 50 ditches. But all I needed, and I wonder how sometimes we as parents have done that, Annette, we bought elaborate gifts, expensive gifts. and all they needed was acknowledgement. We get, right. gave them this, and we did this, and we patted them. It's, oh, Pookie, baby, oh, Pookie. And all Pookie needed was you to say, I love you, I see you, and your voice matters. All Pookie needed was a pat on the head and saying, you go ahead, you got this. Mama got your back. Mama believes in you. Daddy believes in you. All they needed was you to activate their voice in that.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
they said was, I just needed you to activate my voice. You could have kept the trip. It was cool, but I just needed you to activate my voice. That was nice. The car, the clothes, that was cool. Them J's were straight. They were the right color too, but I really just needed you to activate my voice. I gave all that back. I would have given all of it back. And 10 times over, if you had just acknowledged some things and activated my voice, that's what I hear. That's what I hear. So I got to ask you this question, Annette. I got to. There are people that are listening right now, Annette. There are people listening right now in Spain. There are people listening in South Africa, South America, mm-hmm. Mexico, Portland, Oregon. There are people listening in New York, Manhattan. There are people listening in Los Angeles, California, San Antonio, Texas. There are people listening right now in Portugal. People listening in Canada, Quebec. People listening all over the world. And mm-hmm. I want you to tell them something. I want you to tell them, what's one thing that you wish workplaces and friends and even society understood about the reality and the power of single parenting? What's one thing?
You know, just don't make us feel less than because of our title. You know, treat us as equals. You know, there was just many times I just felt so uncomfortable that I did find myself lying and saying, yeah, I'm divorced. Because because the environment I was in, and then, you know, as I gravitated to corporate and getting and hearing the marriage discussions of that, and it's like, oh, so Annette, well, what about you and what about this? And I'm like, yeah, well, we're divorced, you know, and technically we weren't together anymore.
But
so,
to fit in.
Yeah, but
to hide the shame, you
really uncomfortable. So for those in workplaces and, mm-hmm. you know, just don't put us in, okay, you're a single mom. So clearly you have been defined as this and, mm-hmm. and this and this, and that's not reality.
Right.
That's where my tagline comes. It's not about how you arrived at the title. It's what you do with it. Because me as a single mom, if I relied on society, I would be on public assistance. Mm-hmm. I would have 10 grandchildren running around and all of that. But no, I'm not going to allow that to happen. I'm not going to fall under what society says I should be. And so, again, we are more than moms. And if we just change our mindset of becoming teachers and mentors, you know, I've had several mentors. Uh-huh. Many of them were older. I have had colleagues that were my mentors that gave me advice on different things. And, you know, one of my colleagues said, pick your battle.
Yeah.
You know, everything doesn't require response.
Everything does not. Absolutely.
How powerful was that? When I always thought I had to prove my point.
Let me tell you something. What you're not going to do.
Right.
You're not going to do.
Right. And so, you know, when you know, and another one of my colleagues said, she says, when you bring the problem, bring the solution with
you. Right with you. Right. I heard that before. If you bring the problem in one hand, have the solution in the other.
Yes. So then that stops all that extra going
all
on.
All that extra chatter going on.
Again, you're just complaining if you ain't bringing no solution.
A solution. Man, my pastor, I'm going to do a shameless plug. My pastor in my church, Refresh Family Church, here in Birmingham, Alabama. There you go, Refresh. We didn't come to take sides. We came to take over. There you go. He says that all the time. If you're not bringing the solution, then all you're doing is complaining.
That's right.
And then you wonder why nobody wants to hear you.
That's
bring
right.
the solution. You That's mentioned right. your podcast, Annette. I'm going to put up some information. What's some great ways that you can be contacted?
Well, I do have a YouTube channel as well. I also have another website, singlemomsunitedpodcast.com, that you can go out and listen to the various episodes. I have a Facebook group, Mom to Mentor. So you're going to see two different titles because I'm in transition. So when I first started my podcast, it was Single Moms United. And now I'm transitioning to Mom to Mentor. So the transition isn't complete yet. But if you search under Mom, the number two, Mentor, you will find the information regarding the podcast. And if you see Single Moms United podcast, I'm in the process of sunsetting that. But again, encourage you to visit, listen. I'm really looking for some feedback. I'm getting ready to go to another level as it relates to redefining my website. To make it a little more interactive. I'm going to put some cartoons out there. I'm also going to hopefully do some trivia games to help folks. And my daughter said they're called badges. I said awards or stars or whatever.
They're called badges, Mom. They're called badges.
Yeah, so she is like, yeah, Mom, that's not what it's called now. So. But I'm in the process of doing that and building that. So come 2026, I'm hoping to take that to another level because this is all about making a difference, you know. And I understand if some young ladies say, well, I really don't have a mentor or I don't know where to go. Listen, come to this podcast. I promise you, I'm talking about everything from job interviews to right now, my theme is planting character seeds, right? Respect, honesty. And I just launched my latest episode, which is about patience. You know,
yeah, I saw that. I'm looking at we're looking at it now. Yeah, we're looking at it right now. Patience, the seed every child needs. And you can hear this, and you can hear this on all your favorite listening platforms like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, iHeartRadio, Listen to Audio, Amazon Music, SoundCloud. So you can hear these on a plethora of listening platforms. So whichever one is your favorite, because I love this. So whichever is your favorite platform, you can tune in and you can watch that and listening to the episodes there. I'm so glad that you came and you joined us today, Annette.
Thank you. I'm so glad you
jumped outside of your comfortable zone and you got on video. Now, I'm going to tell your daughter now, if your daughter come on, now you're going to tell your daughter that you was on video. And when you was on video, you could no longer tell her that you won't do it. She's going to say, well, why not, Mom? You can do it. I know it. She's going to tell you. She's going to push you out there. We both going to push you on out there. Yeah, we're going to do it. So get over that. We're done with all that. So, Annette, do me a favor. Hold on one second. Let me get us out of here. But, guys, give Annette a hand clap. Tell Annette thank you so much for joining us on video, no less. Don't go nowhere, Annette. We're going to be right here. Don't you get out of here. Don't go nowhere. we'll be with you in just a second, Annette.
Okay.
Guys, I told you today's episode is going to be great. I knew it. And if you are a single parent, let this remind you, your weight is more than a burden. It's a blueprint. If you know someone who is a single parent, or if you are a single parent, if you know one, don't just acknowledge the struggle. Also acknowledge their strength. I want you guys to do me a favor. Invite listeners to post or to send a DM to one word that defines the strength of a single parent that they admire. So I want you to find one single parent that you admire, and I want you to send them a DM and tell them what it is about them that you admire in one word. It could just be strong. It could be happy. It could be encouraging, whatever it is. So I know you know somebody. Find that one single parent that you know and send them a DM and give them one word that describes them in a positive way. You can do it. Listen, and if you do it, if you send me some to T-E-L-L, me something, 21 at gmail.com, guess what? I'll read it on the air in the next episode, guys. Building a community, guys, this would help. Absolutely, it will. Guys, we got to get out of here. But as always, don't forget, we stream right here every Thursday, 6:30 p.m. Central, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, to listen to the show. Or you can listen on your favorite streaming platform like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and so many more. Guys, I got to get out of here. We'll be back next week with another amazing episode. But as always, in parting, if you're going to tell me something, then tell me something good. I'm out of here, y'all. I got to go. Peace.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.